Right, we're continuing on in our series of conversational exposition through Exodus chapters 21, 22, 23. We're getting towards the end here. Mm. Now we're going to talk about this section where it talks about three national feasts. Nate Wagner, why don't you read that starting at verse 14 of chapter 23.
So three times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days as I commanded you at the time appointed in the month of Abib. For in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labors which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering at the end of the year when you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field. Three times in the year all your male shall appear before the Lord. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with
blood. Well, why don't you just end it right there, verse 17.
Perfect.
We'll take a break there because really with that,
that's right.
He speaks of these three national feasts. And what were the three feasts?
It says the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Harvest, and the Feast of Ingathering.
Well, wait, I thought Passover was in there. Where's Passover in all this?
The unleavened bread?
That's right. Yes. Passover is connected with the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's part of it. So sometimes the Bible will distinguish between the two. Sometimes, just in shorthand, it'll just speak of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, including Passover. So basically, you have Passover, first fruits, and ingathering. These were the major festivals where God expected the men of Israel, as much as could travel or whatever, would come and appear before him in sort of this national market. Whether it would be, later on it became Jerusalem, but, you know, wherever the tabernacle would be, and we haven't even talked at all about the tabernacle, that's coming up. But the center of Israel's worship, that's where they're supposed to gather. Hmm. Now, I don't know that we'll talk much about this right now. I mean, this is just notable to say that there were these three feasts, and Jesus kept this law, did he not?
Right.
You know, going up to Jerusalem with his parents and going to the Passover and other such. So Jesus kept this law. He was obedient at every point of the law, of course. But, you know, moving past that, just this expectation that Jewish males would appear as often as they could to these three national feasts. Now we come to verse 18. Go ahead.
Okay, so you shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, nor shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until morning. The first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Randall, last verse.
Yeah, here we go. Just some laws about sacrifice and offering. First of all, if you're going to bring that sacrifice, do not bring leavened bread. What's the big deal with leavened bread? Who doesn't like a good loaf of Wonder Bread or something like that? What's going on?
Well, it's a symbol. It's a symbol of sin, of corruption. New Testament says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Mm. And so it gives that idea what leaven, well, sin does, what leaven does to bread, where just a little leaven infects the entire bread, so does sin infects the entire person.
So because of that symbolism, God says don't bring it in the sacrifice.
Exactly. That's to be holy unto the Lord. That's
okay,
pure.
Let me just throw out a question. I'll let you guys answer. I'm just going to throw it out like a hand grenade right here on the table, all right? Is it sin for Christians to take communion with leavened bread? You never thought about that, did
never,
you?
Never really did.
Yeah.
I have taken it with I've used Hawaiian bread before, totally. Peeled it off, dipped it in there.
Wow.
A little sweet.
A little sweet, yeah.
I don't know, we're in the New Covenant. I would say no.
Okay, I would make the argument, you could make the argument either way. You could take a verse like this and emphasize and say, no. You're disrupting the symbolism, but... The Bible has the idea that God has brought together leavened, being the Gentiles, unleavened, being the Jews, and brought us together in one body. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, under that principle of the New Covenant, you could say it's permissible. Certainly we have no exact command about
right.
it. But believe it or not, this is something that some Christians have got pretty hung up on in the past, leavened or unleavened bread for communion. It says there, verse 18, nor shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until morning. What's the idea of that?
Wasn't it more like the idea of it was a completed work? It wasn't like it was ongoing, continual. No, atonement was to be regarded as a complete, finished work.
You're going to come and offer an animal for sacrifice? Do it.
Yeah.
Don't parcel it out over several days. No, here, come, bring the sacrifice. I don't know, it's kind of interesting. Maybe it's just kind of alluding to the principle that atonement needs to be decisive. You know, it just doesn't come out in dribs and drabs. It should be decisive. And, of course, pointing forward to that perfect sacrificial work of Jesus that was the ultimate decisive work of atonement. Mm. All right, so we have this and that, and then we come to verse 19. Yeah, why don't you read that one all over again there?
This last verse, 19. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk.
All right, well, why don't you preach us a message there that verse? How about that?
Yeah, so where do you begin?
First of all, are you guys pretty safe from the temptation to boil a young goat in its mother's milk? I'm sure you guys have been tempted in many ways.
Very,
pretty
much
clear this one.
Very tempting.
Yeah.
And there's the goat.
That's right. Yeah. Said, whoa, no.
Can't do this.
Exodus 23:19 says, no, don't do it.
But wasn't it back then a pagan fertility ritual?
Exactly.
Wasn't it that they would use this to, you know, enhance their harvest and also, you know, they would sprinkle it. It was just a weird ritual that the pagans would do.
Now, I don't know how common it was in the ancient world, but I know that among the Canaanites, they practiced this as a fertility ritual. Mm. And that's why God says, I don't want you to imitate the Canaanite fertility rituals. Yeah. We don't roll that way. Mm. I'm the God of heaven and earth. You don't appease me with these crazy superstitions. And might we say cruel superstitions? Isn't there just something inherently cruel about using the milk from a mother goat to boil its own baby goat in it? You say, oh, no, don't do that. Okay, so don't be like the pagans following their fertility customs. Great. Well, does this law have any relevance to life today?
Well, I mean, is this the same idea that a Jew today would say, well, that's the reason why I do not eat a double A in and out, a cheeseburger. Cheese with the meat, possibly they could have been from the same cow, the milk and the meat, so I'm not going to do it.
Well, but where does it boil?
And then it boils in your stomach.
Your stomach is the cauldron of,
yes, that's right,
of the mixing.
Okay, you're putting your finger on it. This is the reason why observant Jews separate meat from milk. As a matter of fact, they'll have different cooking utensils, they'll have different plates. Mm. If you go to Israel, you'll see some restaurants are meat restaurants. Some restaurants are milk restaurants. Mm. When you have the breakfast buffet at the hotel in Israel, and you got your yogurts and your milks and all that, are you going to find, you know, roast sausage beef out there? Yeah. No, but you'll find what? Fish. Fish is okay, but not red meat or any kind of thing like that. Yeah. Wow. Well, pork, that's a whole other issue, right? Come on.
It's that. Yeah, nice little breakfast sausage.
But isn't this interesting how I regard it? I mean, no offense to my Jewish friends and neighbors in this, observant Jews. I honor them for their passion to try to keep the traditions and you know, and such. But I just think that this is a pretty grotesque misshaping of this particular text to say that it means you can't have a cheeseburger. There's no idea of imitating a pagan fertility ritual. There's no idea of boiling a cow in its mother's milk or anything. I mean, it's just so far separated from that that I think this is an example of taking what? Isn't this the danger? You take the law of God and you make it into a tradition of man. You take that tradition of man and make your own law out of it.
Mm. When really we're talking about that, this is this God's heart. He's trying to develop a heart in the people, really mold them and shape them. That's what this is about.
And, you know, several times when we come through the Mosaic Law, now this kind of ends our law-giving portion of Exodus chapter 23, but many times when you come to these different laws and some of you just scratch your head, why? Why? Well, many times it was, don't imitate pagan practices. You shall not trim the corners of your beards, God says to Israel in another place. I think it's Leviticus or something. Why? What possible concern would God have? Well, again, you're imitating pagan rituals in doing that for the Canaanites. So it made complete contextual sense for Israel at Mount Sinai. Here, what we want to do is not take the law, but take the principle from it. Mm. We shouldn't be imitating pagan thinking and rituals around us. Isn't that funny? Somebody today who would not have the slightest thought of boiling a young goat in its mother's milk might think the same way that the world does about sex and relationships and all the rest of it. Aren't they breaking the spirit of this law in doing so? Mm. So God wanted Israel to be different. He wants us to be different. All right, we'll pause it here and then continue.